Good evening and welcome to Khadijah and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I am Khadijah Hardaway.
All right, Khadijah. We're going to open up the phone lines here in just a few minutes, but why don't you introduce our guest, Pearl Fain?
Our guest is Pearl Fain. She is the Executive Director of the Board of Police Commissioners, the Office of Community Complaints. Pearl, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for inviting me this evening.
Not a problem. I just want to get started. Can you just give us a little background history on yourself and then what you do in the Office of Community of Complaints?
Let me just give you a little background on the Office of Community Complaints first, and then I can weave my background and everything into that.
Okay.
Kansas City is the proud owner of the oldest oversight entity in the country. Kansas City, the leaders of Kansas City in the 60s had enough insight to realize that there needed to be maybe another entity that had an opportunity to oversee the police department. So with the help of an attorney by the name of Sid Willens, who brought this concept to the Board of Police Commissioners, came up with the idea of creating the Office of Community Complaints. He had looked at the model in New York City, which was the first oversight entity in the country, and he was instrumental and convincing the board to have the Office of Community Complaint. This is our 46th year. Wow. The inception of the office was in 1969. So we've been around for a while. We have a model, an oversight model, which consists of the community's piece, which is the Office of Community Complaints, the Board of Police Commissioners, and the Police Department. We are the intake. My office accept complaints. The Internal Affairs Unit of the Police Department investigate those complaints. And my office, we're the ones who make a decision on those complaints. We oversee Internal Affairs during the investigation of the complaints. So we are, in a way, kind of unique because we do have a Board of Police Commissioners, which is the only board that oversees a police department in the country. So it's just a kind of unique system that we have here.
It sounds really objective, for one thing, is to have an oversight board like the Board of Police Commissioners.
Yes, we work very hard to be objective, very hard. And I think we've maintained that over the years, our objectivity.
Cool. I want to let anyone know that you can call in 816-931-5534 if you want to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah, and just if I could enter this, just to give people an idea, you know, if you've ever felt like you have been unfairly treated by any police officer any time in your life, we'd love to hear from you tonight to just briefly tell us your story so that we can kind of, that's what we're here to talk about tonight, is how this works, how Ms. Fain takes the complaints and then, you know, and the phone's ringing right now, so that's pretty fast. I imagine there are a few people out there that feel like they've been unfairly treated, and most certainly, you know, with the cases of police brutality that we've seen over the last year or two, right? This is a hot topic, so that's why we wanted to address it tonight.
I think it's part celebrity, too, you know.
So we have a caller right now? All right, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Ron.
Ron, what part of the city are you calling from?
I'm calling from the greater Kansas City area.
All right, sir. Yeah, thank you for calling, and what would you like to ask Ms. Fain?
Well, you know, I really don't have anything to ask her. As much as I do have to make a comment regarding the Kansas City Police Department. Now, back in the latter 90s or the early 2000s, I went to buy gas at a gas station. I was doused with gasoline. I made a police report. Nothing came out of it. Okay? Back in 2009, I was assaulted by someone that I hadn't seen in 10 years. Nothing came out of it. The police refused to make a report because they had been called to that area hours earlier. And I don't know for what reason. And then I went through all the necessary steps. I called Alvin Brooks. I went through internal affairs. And they nullified the police officers for not doing their job. Okay. Now, I've had another incident happen to me. And this is the last straw. And what I'm saying is for all this talk of law enforcement in our community, it seems like it seems like it's a two-way thing.
Okay.
They, by the lack of their doing their jobs, are part of the problems. And I know of many other incidents where there have been homicides, where people have tried to come forward and only to have their names given by detectives that would stop them from testifying.
Okay.
So, you know, this is a problem that has been plaguing our community for a long time.
Well,
and,
Ron,
you know, all this
Ron,
talk of law
I
enforcement,
think,
you know, and all these monies that are allocated.
If I could cut in for
really
a second,
need,
Ron. We're here to talk about the Office of Community Complaints, and you've shared with us a few of your complaints. Now, we're going to let we can't take all the time talking about a bunch of other complaints, but we're going to let Pearl address what you have said,
yes.
And we're going to also give someone else a chance to call in. Right?
Hey, Ron, thanks so much for calling in, man.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate you calling in. So thanks, and
sure.
Keep on listening because she's getting ready to talk about it.
That's fine.
Well, first I want to say to Ron, thank you for calling in. Secondly, I hate to hear when people feel that the system has failed them. That was one reason why the Office of Community Complaints was developed, so that people could have an opportunity to hold the police department accountable. I don't know what I can do with the incidents with that occurred years ago with the caller, but anything that comes about in the future, he should definitely call my office. We're located at 635 Woodland, and my telephone number, my direct number, is area code 816-889-6641, and we welcome anyone to call, and we can't take complaints over the phone. But we will tell you what you need to do to file a formal complaint with us. The irony of it is that I was here coming in tonight, and one of the radio personalities said to me, you know, I called your office about a year ago, and no one returned the call. Now, you know, I don't like to hear that, but sometimes things do fall through the cracks. As I told her, please call me and let me know. And she's leaving her number, and I'm going to call her and figure out what happened. We pride ourselves on trying to make sure that we at least have some type of contact with everyone that calls the office.
And part of this show is to educate people on what the process is if you do have a complaint, and how to go about it, and how long it takes. Who will be contacting you back, those type of questions, because I find a lot of times people are contacting the wrong people to get their to express what has happened to them, and it really can be simple. And so we want to educate the public on what it is that they can do if they do have a complaint. What is the process? I have a question in particular is how many complaints a week do you think the Office of Community Complaints get?
We average about close to 500 complaints a year. Unlike other jurisdictions, we don't count every complaint. Except for instance, someone will file a complaint, and within that complaint, they might have three or four issues. We don't count each issue. We just count that one complaint. So we look at, we receive about 500 complaints, but we look at a whole lot of issues within those 500 complaints.
Right.
If that makes sense.
So still 500 complaints, though, that you're actively working is a lot. That's well over one per day. That's like two a day because you don't work 7 days a week. You work 5 days mm-hmm. a week, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a lot of complaints. It's a heavy load.
Well, when you look at the number of contacts that the police have yearly, it's small because they have hundreds of thousands of contacts that they make.
Right, so you're saying those complaints, given the work that they do, the number of officers on the street, the number of incidents that they have to attend to in just one day, that's really a very minuscule number of complaints.
That's very true. I just saw the crime report for this past September, and that's very true. Do any of the complaints get priority over any other complaints? I mean, is there any that stand out and say, oh, we need to draw attention to this or have our attention focused on this one?
No, all of the complaints have the equal standing. You know, excessive force complaints, it's just like improper conduct complaints mm-hmm. because it impacts a person and the way they view the police department, each one of those. Just like the gentleman Ron that called, his was not excessive force. His was the lack of police service. Mm-hmm. And he feels as a citizen and a taxpayer that he deserves police service.
Yeah.
So we treat them all the same.
Let's make sure we give the number again, 816-931-5534. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and you're listening to Khadija and the White Guy. Khadija.
That's right, and I'm Khadija.
All right.
Pearl, when these complaints come in, and do you find sometimes that there's common threads? Like, say, for instance, there's a complaint against a certain officer, and at some point is that officer either disciplined or is he reviewed when you have several complaints on one particular person?
Usually, as I said, we try to be very objective. If it comes to a point that we are recognizing an officer, then that officer has come to our attention a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually I can think of a case where at one point it was like, oh, I'm seeing this name too much. You know, I'm recognizing this name. So, yes, we pick up the phone and we call the department. But we want to be fair,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we still say, hey, you might need to we'll say something to internal affairs, something similar to, we're noticing this name a lot. And I can only think, in all the years I've been there, only one time I've ever done that.
So I just want to be a little bit more clear. Are you a part of the police department? Or are you just a separate entity working on behalf of citizens, and then that internal affair is the liaison between you guys?
Okay. Great question. I do not work for the police department. I work directly for the Board of Police Commissioners. We oversee the police department and the members of the police department. That's the sworn and the non-sworn. We oversee their conduct. When there is a citizen or a community complaint, that mm-hmm. is something that we investigate. We do not have individual, we don't have investigators.
So
we use the police department's investigators.
Right. But still, you guys are completely independent of the police department.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Please tell us your first name and what part of the city you're from.
JP in Shawnee.
Hi, JP. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Yeah, thanks for the show. Great show. What power do they have to actually have policemen dismissed or disciplined? What actual power do they have over the police other than just asking?
Great question. All of that, the disciplinary piece, is left to the chief of police and the Board of Police Commissioners. We make recommendations to the board regarding our findings. We can we either sustain a complaint, meaning that yes, the officer or the member of the department violated policy. We can not sustain a complaint, meaning we just don't know what happened. You know, we don't use the burden of proof, the preponderance of the evidence. We don't do any of that. But we do use a reasonable standard to say, hey, it's just the officer word against the complainant's word, vice versa. And we can exonerate the officer, meaning, yes, they might have done the particular activity, but it was within policy.
If you disagree with the chief of police, what recourse is there then?
We take it to the board. When there's an impasse, the board will take care of it.
And what power does the board have to then fire or otherwise discipline the police officer?
Everything is within the Board of Police Commissioners.
So
they are the final authority.
Power to, if necessary, relieve the chief of police of his job?
Yes. There are only two people within almost the 3,000 member department that the board can terminate directly. That's me and the chief of police.
Wow, that's a
great
question.
That's a lot of power. It's a great question.
That's wonderful. So the board has the power to actually remove the chief of police if necessary. That's great. Thanks for the show.
Hey, JP, thanks for calling in. And I believe we've got another caller on the line right now. So, caller, what is your first name and what area of the city are you from?
My name is Tara, and I'm calling from Raytown, Missouri.
Hi, Tara. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Do you have a question for Pearl Fain or maybe just a comment?
Well, no, I have a question for Ms. Fain. Ms. Fain, when someone submits a complaint to your office, can you give kind of a rough estimate of the time span before that complaint would be addressed?
Well, usually the intake is very fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you file a complaint, we have a different places where you can file your complaint. Once we get that complaint in, the intake person will send a letter out to you. Usually, once you get it, you call that person back. The case is sent over to Internal Affairs. It all depends on their schedule, but usually they are in contact with you as soon as possible.
Okay.
And it all depends on the nature of the complaint as to how long it takes. If it is one where there are a number of officers involved, it might take a while. But usually we try to push them pretty quickly. My position is that I'd rather take all the time that is needed to make sure that the investigation has been done right and, fairly, and all the issues have been covered.
Do you find where? Thank you, Tara, for your question.
Tara, did you have a follow up? Just quickly.
No, I have another question. If it'll be okay.
Yeah, if you got a quick one, go ahead.
Okay, so Ms. Fain, there was in reference to the time span that you all, from the date of the occurrence when the misconduct happens by the police officer. Can you give clarity on, what that is? I know your website says 90 days.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Is there, will you address complaints that are submitted, that are past the 90 days from date of the occurrence of the misconduct happening?
Usually I don't take them after 90 days unless it is an excessive force allegation.
I see.
That's a good policy, and it's a good policy that you make that exception because, of course, none of us, including the police chief and the deputy chiefs, don't want excessive force used by the police.
Yeah. Well, normally, it's I do it case by case because if it is a complainant who's out of the state, who's not in this city, they might not know about a complaint process. So we look at it case by case. So we don't summarily.
If they did have complaints that, we didn't find out until after that 90-day limit, where do we submit those complaints? Because they're still legitimate complaints and it's still issues of misconduct that the police committed. So where would one submit those complaints to have that problem and that issue addressed?
Okay, why don't you call my office? My number is area code 816-889-6641.
Okay, yeah. Actually, I emailed you the last couple of days, and I haven't heard back from you because that was my question. I sent you 15 complaints in reference to the Keith Carnes case where he was wrongly convicted as a result of police misconduct.
Once again,
and I haven't had a return email from you or call.
And, ma'am, I get probably about 30 emails a day.
Okay.
You will hear from me, but you need to call my office. Area code 816-889-6641.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Tara,
you have
thanks
a
for calling
thank
in
you
tonight.
For having me.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Go ahead,
Khadija. Yeah.
Well, I want to say this first. I imagine if you got 15 complaints, it's going to take a while. I wanted to ask, sometimes when you have people that call in with complaints, do they sometimes incriminalize themselves by calling in? Because sometimes some people, I find themselves in unsavory behavior, and police shows up, and then, you know, something went wrong with the police officer, or, you know, and then, you know, the story is not fully together. You ever find where sometimes people can incriminate themselves because of what they've said? Or,
well, you know, we really don't look at it from that perspective. You know, our standard of review is, hey, we take them where we find them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have found that when people are in contact with the police, or when they have that police experience, something happens. So their whole perception becomes their reality.
Right.
You know, they can tell us stuff, but then when we look at the video, it's like, okay.
That's not what...
But at that moment, it's their reality.
Right.
Absolutely. So. That is such a great way to say it. In other words, you're not saying that they're lying on purpose. It's just people get into another zone, mm-hmm. especially when you're in an altercation with mm-hmm. excessive force and that kind of stuff. You know, they're just things you don't remember. And it's so good to have police video, I'm sure, for the police department and everybody's best interest, the public's best interest, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
If you're listening to us, we are on KKFI. It's Khadija and the White Guy, and he's the White Guy. I'm Khadija. Give us a call, 816-931-5534. And we got Groovy Mike in the studio with us, too.
Yeah, we love Mike. I got a question for you, Ms. Vane. Can you tell us of an instance, and of course we don't want names, I'm sure you're going to make this anonymous, of when you did something and somebody really did get, you know, the police chief or somebody had to take action, and there was action taken on a police officer in an occurrence?
Oh, my gracious, I can name a whole lot.
Happens all the time, right? Just give us one story if you can think of one.
One that I thought that was really, really something was we were doing an investigation regarding an incident where a gentleman had been arrested. He made some allegations about some money being stolen. So we sent the file to Internal Affairs, and hey, they did their research and they came up and said, hey, we're sending this over. There's some problems here. So yeah, I mean, even before finishing the investigation, when they did their pre-investigation, they knew something was wrong.
And started to take action right away.
Right away.
What does the Internal Affairs Office look like? I mean, like, is this a team of lawyers? You said these are investigators. Are they detectives?
Detectives.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Probably, I would just guess that on Internal Affairs, you've got, you know, cops that want all the bad cops gone, so to speak. I mean, there are people that just make mistakes.
Yeah.
But if there is a bad cop, and we had one of the deputy chiefs in our on our show one time, and he was, you could tell, mm-hmm. he is not going to tolerate any kind of what I would call a bad mm-hmm. cop. He had mm-hmm. someone that he thought was a little bit too excessive in the use of their weapon, and he said, we, you know, within a year, we looked at the patterns and so forth, and, you know, he was gone. So they don't want that.
Yes. They work very hard to try to have a professional police department. And I have to say, I'm proud to be part of Kansas City. Last year, we had our 45th anniversary here, and also the National Oversight Agency organization was here. And, yeah, I mean, I was very proud of Kansas City. It's a tough job, but it's a gratifying job.
Well, I have a question. Do you think Ferguson had an Office of Community Complaints?
And no. No.
Do you think it would serve them good to have one?
Oh, yes.
What's happened down there?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I think people should have some place where they can go outside of the police department and come and register a complaint and to feel that that complaint is going to be looked at and it's going to be treated fairly and impartially. So, yeah. And if you notice, all over the country now, people are looking to at least get some model of an oversight agency. We get questions almost every week about oversight. In my office, one of the senior analysts, she's on the national board of the oversight organization. So we work very closely with them, and we're always assisting other communities with oversight.
Do you ever get complaints on diversity in your department? Is it how diverse is your department, I should say?
You mean I have now when I talk about diversity, I'm not talking basically about race.
Right.
Yeah, I have one, and I really campaign for this person, one officer that goes out and she does outreach with us. Because people tend to want to talk to police, you know, because they think that the police really know. And, yeah, they do know some things about how you should supposed to conduct yourself when you're out, when you do have an encounter with the police. So, yeah, there is a one officer, detective. I have, you know, whites in my office, blacks. It's just a whole, I have lawyers, I have, you know, people, social workers, you know, just a gamut of.
So what does the social workers do?
Well, I mean, just their life experience, that their career path, that they've been social workers, but now they are in criminal justice, you know, they're in my office. So we do deal with a lot of people who file complaints in my office. We deal with a lot of homeless individuals, a lot of individuals who have some mental challenges. So that social work background really works. I'm an old social worker, so.
I just wanted to say this, and that is Pearl Fain's reputation in Kansas City is one of social justice. She's been involved in social justice issues for years and years. So if there are any listeners out there that are thinking that she's easy on the police department, she's not going to tolerate any injustice, folks. So if you have been wrongly treated, call her office, and I'll give that number one more time, if I may, 816-889-6641. That's the office of Ms. Fain, Community Complaints, which is part of the Kansas City Board of Police Commissioners.
Yeah, well, I always tell folks that I'm hated by everybody, but that's a good position to be in. The police hate me, the public hates me, so I love it that way.
But I love you, Pearl. I love you, girl.
We just got a couple minutes. Go ahead, Khadija.
Well, I just want to say that if you're educated about the process, then you will get a lot further. This show was just basically to educate people on what the process was if you have a complaint against a police officer. So do your due diligence. Call the office if you have a complaint and do the necessary steps, and it should work out for you. And toot toot, baby. You know, I like to toot my own horn.
All right. And I do want to finish with this, if I may. And that is, I was talking with a couple guys today, just met them, you know, in a store and asked them what they thought of the topic. And they basically said, by the way, these gentlemen were both people of color. And they kind of said, you know, look, you just don't want to mess with the police. In other words, be on your good behavior. Don't, you know, escalate a situation because the way this one guy said it was, you're going to lose. I think it was Rocky that said that. So a shout out to Rocky and Charles. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. This is a kind of a tough subject sometimes.
Yes, and, it is.
Yeah, and also just thank Pearl Fain for coming in and being on the show tonight. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Really
I appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've been listening to Khadija and the White Guy. For my co-host, Khadija Hardaway, I also want to thank Mike Murphy for being our engineer tonight and remind you that this is the Pledge Drive. for KKFI. So call in with those pledges. It's going to be going on for the next 10 days or so. Mike is organizing volunteers to take your call, and this radio station brings you programs like tonight with our guest Pearl Fain. Again, thanks to Khadijah Hardaway. I'm Keith Washburn, and thanks for listening to Khadijah and the White Guy. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And now, without further ado, we present Shots in the Night Radio Theater. As the dawn breaks over the horizon, Sally has been up for hours, anticipating the day ahead. Jim, are you awake yet? Jim!
What? What? Is the house on fire?
Why? Do you smell smoke?
No.
Then why would you assume that?
Why did you wake me up?
Do you know what day this is?
Look at the clock. I've still got a few more minutes, and I'm taking them.
You can't go back to sleep. This is important.
Okay, I'll just close my eyes.
Jim!
What? What?
Do you know what day this is?
Yes, Sally, it's Thursday.
What kind of Thursday?
The kind that happens just before Friday.
Is that all?
No, of course not. This is a very happy Thursday.
Oh, Jim, you're so cute when you're being coy.
I'm sorry, Sally. I really don't know what you're talking about.
Jim, how long have you known me?
Is this a trick question?
We've been together long enough to know every detail about each other. For instance, I know that sleep is very important to you.
Well, I get so little of it, and I have to give a big presentation at work today.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Like you said, this is a happy Thursday.
I'd be a lot happier if I could just sleep for a few more minutes.
I wonder why you scheduled your presentation on a day like this.
Like what?
Why are you looking at me like you're clueless?
Maybe because you haven't given me a clue?
Jim!
I might as well get up. Could you move?
Is that it? Is that all you're going to say to me?
Please move?
I can't believe you.
Hey, that's my sore shoulder. What?
Nothing.
I know that look. Hey, why don't we do something fun this weekend?
So, you've planned something after all, eh, old chap?
We could go out or have a few friends over.
So, you've planned to have some friends pop over.
Oh, geez, you're using that accent.
It's too late to call the Johnsons. Besides, Jenny doesn't love surprises.
Okay, no Johnsons.
But I love surprises.
Yeah, I know.
Will there be crumpets?
Anything you want.
And Yorkshire pudding?
Sure, crumpets and Yorkshire pudding.
And people speaking with British accents.
So, Sally, this is,
Jim, you're so good to me.
Hey, watch the shoulder.
Here, you've actually remembered the anniversary of my very first Downton Abbey Netflix watch party. And you tried so to surprise me. I'll make you a list. Where to buy the crumpets, whom to invite, what food to order. I'm thinking a period costume party would be the best. Just a tea party, mind you, not a grand ball. No time to hire the musicians.
Whoa, sweetie, you're so good with all these details. Why don't I just turn the planning over to you?
Oh, I couldn't take you away from a chance to tap into your party planner persona. I'll have that list by the time you're out of the shower. Cheerio, old chap.
Bloody hell, I'm tired.
The holidays are close at hand. Halloween is just around the corner. Whatever shall we serve? I'm Gouya Child, and today my guest chef, Sarah Moulting, is here to solve that problem with her specialty, smoked bat's breast in a delicious cream baboon toe jam sauce. All this and more on today's Transylvania Chef. Now, tell me, Sarah, what's going on at your restaurant? Moulting's Fine Foods. So simple, yet the name says it all.
Well, thank you, Gulia, for asking. Since we talked last, I've opened a fresh bakery section. Surprisingly, our biggest selling item is our bear claws. They're brought in fresh daily, sometimes even still twitching.
I think fresh ingredients are of the utmost importance. I heard you were having some trouble in making your Girl Scout cookies.
Sorry to say, Gulia, it's almost impossible to get real American Girl Scouts to grind for our cookies. They're all coming from China now. The texture is just not the same.
Oh, I understand. I'm having the same trouble making baby food. Such is life. I see you've brought a beautifully large bat for us to work with today. Where did you ever acquire such a succulent-looking creature?
This was captured in the Black Forest region and given to us by the House of Frankenstein Meat Emporium. You know their motto, parts is parts, and we have 'em. I'm informed the Baron picked this one out himself, especially for the show.
Oh, that was kind of him. Ever since they straightened out that matter with the mix-up of brains, I found them to be quite reliable, and their hearts and lungs are almost palpitatingly fresh.
Yes, I agree. As you can see, this bat is the size of a 30 to 35 pound turkey. I've already removed the head and wings, and I immediately put them in the freezer to use later for stock. However, I did manage to save the eyeballs for garnish.
Whenever I served a dish with the eyeballs still intact, my husband Gall used to say, "Well, everyone, here's looking at you." He was a real cut-up, in more ways than one.
Oh, I think we were all sorry to hear about that food grinder accident. But as you say, such is life. Or the lack of it. Now, Gulia, here comes the tricky part, cleaning out the cavity. I find there's no other way than to just reach in and pull it all out.
Oh, I'm glad you're here to explain to us. Last year when we were recording our segment, Moose, It's What's for Dinner, it seems the creature wasn't completely dead, and when I reached in, it contracted and cracked two of my knuckles and broke my little pinky finger. Oh, thank goodness Igor, our floor manager, was there with a cleaver to lop off its head so I could pull my hand out.
Oh, you really have to be careful when working with fresh meats. I had almost the same experience stuffing an aardvark one Thanksgiving. Luckily, this bat is beyond the twitching state. Let me just turn this bat around so the count's nose, as they say, is facing us, and I'll just reach in and pull out all the goodies we'll use for the gravy and stuffing. I find it helpful if I grease my hand and arm up to the elbow. It makes for easier insertion.
Oh, Sarah, you're so clever. Greasing up first would make it so much easier. When you do that, you still have to be careful. When you're in there, remember what I always say. Save the liver. It's such a tasty treat.
I agree. Now, Gulia, if you'll just grab a hold of the bat, mm-hmm. I'll put my arm into the cavity.
Okay, oh, there we go.
Oh, I can't seem to get it in all the way. Hold on tight. I'm going to make a fist and see if I can just shove. There, I'm inside.
Oh,
if I can feel to the top of the lungs, I can grab them and just pull everything out. Oh, I think I got it. Hold on tight. I'm going to pull out as quick as I can.
Oh, try and save the liver. Oh, you got the flatulent gland.
There, I got it. And Gulia, I saved the liver. Oh. We can snack on it later. All that's left to do now is wash out the cavity with a little lye soap, stuff it with the pureed innards, add some seasoned week-old spiderweb bread, put it in the oven, and we're good to go.
Oh, what do you do to make the creamed toe jam sauce?
Well, that's the easy part, Gulia. Let me unwrap these great-looking baboon feet. See how the jam has already started to drip and coagulate around the toes. That is the sign of a high-quality foot.
Oh, I see. How lovely. They really have a sharp, pungent fragrance about them. Does it matter that the toenails have turned a dark yellow ochre?
That's what you want to look for. A sure sign of a ripe and ready foot is the dark yellow nails and that pungent, strong blue cheese odor. Let me just add these to the pan alongside the bat breast with just 1/3 cup of mucus. And with the drippings from the breast, it will create its own sauce. While we're waiting for the breast and sauce to finish, I'd like for you to try a wine from the Count and Countess Dracula. I think it will accompany the dish quite well.
Such a beautiful dark burgundy color in a damp earth bouquet. Well, here's to death and destruction. I must say, this is a most unusual decomposing flavor and a gelatinous feel upon the tongue.
It is very tasty, but it does seem to clot shortly after opening. This would also go nice with Komodo dragon tartare or flamingo brains flambé.
Oh, I agree. It smells like our bat's breast, and cream sauce is almost ready. Sarah, how do you test for doneness?
Usually the green smoke coming from the oven is a sure sign. However, the breast, when poked, should have a squishy sound not unlike the sound of toads being crushed for a stew. Oh, just smell the acidy sharpness of the meat. Gulia, be my guest and give the breast a poke.
Oh, yes, I see. The juices run a beautiful blue-black, and just like you said, the toenails are a dark yellowish color, and the jam in between has started to bubble and fester.
Let me plate this up some. Here's a couple slices of the breast, and one of the feet. Of course, I'll cover all of this with our wonderful toe jam cream sauce. Enjoy!
Oh, the sauce, the sauce.
This is delicious.
I must say, this is a delightful treat, but it's so rich, one certainly wouldn't eat this every day. How did you achieve the underlying smoky flavor?
That's a little trick I learned from 3 very knowledgeable witches in Scotland I visited last summer. Never shave the fur or hair from the bat's breast or the baboon feet, because as it burns off in cooking, it seasons the dish.
What a clever trick. Well, today has been a real gastronomical delight. I want to thank our friend Sarah Moulting for showing us how to make the Halloween festivities a real treat by creating a delicious entree of smoked bat's breast swimming in a thick, rich baboon toe jam cream sauce. For everyone here on the Transylvania Chef, I'm Gulia Child saying happy holidays and bone in
petite.
Oh, great angel of material goods, I call for you.
What is it, my child?
I want more.
You want more?
I want more.
But you already have so much.
I want more.
You have more possessions than virtually anyone else.
I don't care. I want more.
You have 6-bedroom home with a pool, a luxury car, the finest handcrafted furniture, the latest and most fashionable clothes.
I want more.
But you have vacation homes in Aspen, Bermuda, Palm Springs, and Hawaii.
It is not enough. I want more.
You have every possession anyone could ever want, and still you are not happy. Doesn't that tell you something?
I could be happy with more.
You will die, and then there will be no more.
Eventually. Someday. But in the meantime, I want more.
Not eventually. You will die today.
Today?
Yes, today. You surely know that greed is one of the seven deadly sins. It is your time, my child.
But I don't want to die. I'm too young. I want more time.
Time is the only more that matters.
Yes, it is. I know that now. Please, I want more time. You can have all my possessions. I just want more time.
I am sorry, my daughter, but you were out of more.
Let's stop here. This looks okay under the bridge. Though you want to hear the story of an old bag lady. Ain't really nothing. Guess I can start with my tattoo. Nah, I ain't been in the Marines. It's just a tattoo I got for my boyfriend. He was my first and only love. You know what that Semper Fi means? It's Shakespeare or something important. Some biker told me it means always faithful. Who knows? Could mean screw you in Greek. All I know is my boyfriend was with a bunch of guys one night, and one of them said stop the car and went into a convenience store. Walked out with a six-pack without paying. Some judge said join the army, so he did. He joined the Marines. I thought he looked real good in his uniform, and when he came back, we'd get married. He was 19, and I was 16 when he went. But he came back in a box. I wish he'd gone to jail instead of the NAM. Some people say that's what did it. That's why I'm homeless today. I try to be a friendly gal, but there's always something that puts me at odds. When I was young, I thought the world was treating me wrong. But now I'm 63, and I think it might be me, not the world. I ain't been homeless all my life. I've had jobs, mostly waiting tables, sometimes working the bar. I traveled a lot. Been in the big city, worked on a farm or two. Yeah, I've slept under bridges, in churches, been at the Salvation Army. Even had a full-time job once until they fired me. My boss told me he could get me a raise if I'd take care of his raise, if you know what I mean. I took care of it all right. I kicked him in his raise and solved the problem right then and there. They told me it was insubordination. I told them I didn't know any words that long, but they said ignorance is no excuse. I told them I didn't ignore anything. I handled it. One time I visited a church up in Omaha on my way to the coast. I was a little short of cash and a little hungry, and this preacher took me in and fed me. It was real nice. He told me I was really smart and told me I wasn't shy on my looks either. Made me feel right good about myself, like my boyfriend did. He found me a part-time job and got me an apartment. Banged if he didn't get me to enroll in the junior college. He paid my fees, he did. Turned out he wanted something in return for his being generous. I was young and, hell, it weren't any big deal. After a while, though, I got to thinking it looked like I was a prostitute, me giving the preacher favors for his putting me up. Was that the world mistreating me, or was that me mistreating me? So I left. That's what I did. I ain't scared here, being a woman and all. I figure there's something going on here that keeps men's interest down. Maybe they were done wrong by their wife or girlfriend. Maybe that's why they're on the street. Could be tired of the demands women make of them. Maybe they're scared I'm going to talk their leg off. Or maybe word has it I got some big honking gun in my Trader Joe's bag. They'd be wrong on that. It's in my Walmart bag. Maybe that preacher affected me more than I thought. Sometimes I talk to God, not that I'm a believer. But you can't be too sure there ain't a God or not. The Lord tells me to go and buy a big gun with a big clip so when I want something and he's not around to answer my prayers, I can take care of myself. They say when you own a gun, it's probably going to be you. for Wyoming, working at a quick stop outside of town. I was a night manager, but I wasn't in charge of anything but punching keys on the cash register. One night about 3 a.m, these two guys come in. I know they're up to no good. They were about 17, maybe even 16. The one with the pimples, he points the gun at me, tells me to hand over the cash drawer. Well, he didn't know store policy. Boss says to me first day on the job that I'm responsible for the money no matter what. So I pull out my gun and shoot the guy. The other kid, he runs out the door, but they get him the next day. Judge said it was justified homicide. Says I did good. Country would be a better place if there were more like me, he says. I didn't know judges could say those kinds of opinions. All in all, I got no bothers. Some of the guys in my neighborhood have their mental problems. I got nothing like that except for this one dream I got that keeps happening. It starts out every time with a young girl and a young guy looking in a store window downtown. They're pointing and talking like they want to buy something they see in the window. The dream always ends when he puts his arm around her shoulder and turns to her and smiles. And then it's like I got a zoom camera that brings his face up to mine. Know what I see? Nah, it ain't my boyfriend. I wish it were, but it ain't. It's the boy with the pimples in the store that night in Casper, Wyoming. I don't dwell on it. If I did, I might be like all the rest. I asked God if he could stop the dream, but he was probably working on some tsunami somewhere and didn't catch my prayer. I thought about getting the gun out of my Walmart bag and throwing it down the sewer. I did. I thought maybe when God got back from the disaster, he'd see what I'd done to get that forgotten and then he'd turn off the dream. But he didn't. They're serving burgers down at the mission. They're pretty good. Gotta go.
It was an ordinary moonless night in the city, with the same tedious television programs now since turned off. We see an elderly bedridden Mrs. Stevens, alone, fiddling with her iPhone and its complexities, trying to figure out the text app so she can communicate with her absentee husband.
Oh, dear. I don't get this damn thing to work. I must contact my Henry. I'll try again. Honey, when are you coming home? I miss you. That should do it. Now, I press send. Nothing. What's this?
You know what to do.
Steal her money and jewels to make it look like a robbery.
Then stab her.
What if she screams?
No worries. The cops on duty are nowhere in sight. The 11:15 train horn will drown out her screams.
And then?
This is dreadful. How utterly terrible. Who are you? Who are you? Nobody answers me. I need to text the police department. Police!
Police, how may I assist you?
I wish to report a murder. It hasn't happened yet, but I just read the text of two individuals plotting to kill this helpless woman.
Who is this?
Mrs. Stevens. Mrs. Henry Stevens. My husband gave me this damned iPhone for Christmas, and I'm trying to figure it out. I just read two men's text, and they plan to murder this poor woman.
How do I know you aren't some kid messing with me?
My husband, Henry, has a very responsible job. I would show you our house to prove it, but I don't know how to work the FaceTime feature or even how to talk to you.
We get these texts all the time. What makes yours so special?
Please look into it, officer. A woman is going to die.
We will do our best. Good night.
Do our best indeed. Honey, are you coming home soon? I love you. And send. What's that? Who's down there? The police. I'll text the police again. Oh, no, I dropped the phone. No. No. Please, no.
Police, how may I assist you?
No worries. Sorry, wrong text.
I just don't know, Timmy. I think it's time I hang up the old cape.
What are you talking about, Fly Guy?
I'm a fake, a fraud, a phony.
Look, Fly Guy, I've known you for many years. You're my best friend. Let me give it to you straight.
Then you agree with me. I'm all washed up.
No way! Now get off your pity pot and listen.
I'm listening.
You put out a fire in that high-rise.
It rained buckets that night, and the fire department helped.
You single-handedly stopped that bank robbery and protected its employees. You stopped those criminals' bullets.
Good thing they had poor aims. Lucky, I guess. They all missed me.
Well, what about that time you prevented that dam from bursting and kept the river from flooding into the valley?
You might remember there was an earthquake that day. It changed the course of the river. I had nothing to do with it. It was a coincidence.
Fly Guy, I saw you zoom up into the air and keep that airliner from crashing.
There happened to be a strong gust of wind that caught my cape, and I happened to end up under the plane.
And you guided it safely to the ground and saved over 100 lives.
You aren't very convincing. It was a fluke, just like me, a big fluke.
I'm not buying your negative self-doubt talk, Fly Guy. Remember when...
See this F on my uniform? It stands for failure. Yep, that's me. Failure with a capital F.
You're better than that.
If I was such an awesome, super-duper hero, Tim, then why am I afraid of heights? Hell, I couldn't climb a tree and rescue a kitten.
Hey, mister, aren't you Fly Guy?
I'm afraid so, kid.
Way cool. You're my hero.
But, kid...
I seen you on TV. You do all sorts of cool stuff. You're awesome.
But, kid...
Wait till my buds hear I met you, Mr. Fly Guy.
But, kid...
Let me take a selfie.
But, kid, please...
Smile. Thanks. Gotta run. See ya.
What about that? And he's only one of your adoring fans.
You know something, Timmy? Just between you and me, maybe I do have superpowers after all. It will be our own little secret.
Yes, our own little secret.
Thank you for listening to Shots in the Night Radio Theater. For a full list of credits, please visit shotsinthenight.org. Don't forget... Our special Halloween show will be airing on October 29th from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on KKFI. It'll scare the hell out of you.
And it's just a few seconds before 8 o'clock.